Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Your garden's going to do a lot better if you weed it. If you don't, you're going to have noticeably less fruit that comes out of it. And so our lives have a lot of weeds in it. What does it say the weeds are? Cares, riches, and pleasures of this life. In the parallel passage, it says the cares of this life. They're weeds. We're just worried.
How is the soil of your heart? Today, we continue our study in Luke chapter 8 and the parable of the farmer scattering his seed. With more on how to make sure we are examining the condition and spiritual health of our heart to hear and obey the Word of God, here's Robert Furrow with Luke 8, 1 through 15, part 2 of our study.
John 16, 33, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, but that you may now have peace." He says, "I'm going to give you peace, but in this world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." A lot of things in that verse. Number one, he starts off by saying you're going to have peace, but you're going to have trouble. There's going to be tribulation. That's a promise. But be of good cheer. Oh boy, I'm tribulation. I've overcome the world. So in the midst of your difficulty, no matter how dark, no matter how bad, no matter how horrible, be of good cheer because he has overcome the world. God's got you in the end. But many people leave because of difficulties. I love this passage from 1 Peter, and I quote it a lot. I really paraphrase it when I quote it, so I wanted to read it to you. 1 Peter 4:12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning fiery trials, which is to try you." Couldn't he have just said trials? Did he have to say fiery trials? "Think it not strange concerning fiery trials, that is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you." The church that Peter's writing to thinks it's strange that fiery trials have hit them. Where do they miss Jesus saying, "Pick up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me"? Where did they miss when James says, "Consider it all and joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance"? Where did they miss all these things that said that hard times were going to come, difficulties were going to come? And so if your faith is conditional, "I'll serve God if you fill in the blank," that is stony ground. Some of you here have fallow hearts. It needs to be broken up. From my perspective, I think only God can break it up. But you can ask God to break it up. You can say, "Break the ground of my heart up. Don't let it be hard anymore. I don't want the enemy stealing the word." And if you're conditional faith, then you could remove the rocks. You could say today, "Lord, I will serve you no matter what. You are my God. I will live for you until the day I die, no matter what happens in my life." That is not a rocky heart. If you can say that with 100% conviction, if you mean it, "God, I will serve you no matter what. Whatever difficulty, whatever problem, whatever hardship, you are my God and I will live for you," that is not a stony heart. The person who says, "Eh, we'll see how it goes." Stones, bunch of stones, a lot of rocks. All right? So we get to the third condition. The first is a hard heart. The second is stony, conditional. The third is in verse 14. "Now, the one that fell among the thorns are those, when they heard, go out and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity." So these guys are, there's three things it says here. They're distracted. So you got the rocks are conditions, the weeds are distractions. You know if you have a garden, you got to go out and you weed your garden because the weeds compete for the water, the moisture, and the nutrition for the plants. And your garden's going to do a lot better if you weed it. If you don't, you're going to have noticeably less fruit that comes out of it. And so our lives have a lot of weeds in it. What does it say the weeds are? Cares, riches, and pleasures of this life. In the parallel passage, it says the cares of this life. They're weeds. We're just worried. I spent last night trying to go to sleep, thinking about not an immediate family member, but I got a family member I got to deal with something with. And I started thinking about what I was going to say. And the next thing you know, I'm in bed and I can't sleep. The cares of this world. hey, this is going to get taken care of, right? It's got to get taken care of. Do I have to go over 100 times what I'm going to say to them? Yes, because that's me. But other than that, no. I don't have to, but I do, right? Jesus said about the cares of this world, he said, hey, today has enough cares for itself. Can you, with all of your worry, add 1 inch to your height? You, with all of your worry, can you turn one hair brown from gray? Can you get rid of gray? We say, I can. No worry at all. Just go, yeah, Clairol. Just for men, works nice. Works well. All right? So Jesus says, don't worry. Your God's going to take care of you. God's got you covered. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, drink, or wear. God's got you covered. And so these cares of life and whatever it may be, trying to pay your taxes, worrying about finding a job, all of those things are the cares of this life. And yes, they are out there, and yes, you've got to deal with them, you deal with them daily, but they can become so prominent, they're like weeds that surround the Word of God and don't allow it to grow. The second is riches. The second type of weeds is riches. Jesus said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to be saved. The disciples said, who then can be saved? And Jesus said, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. He says, people with money are going to get saved, but they've got a barrier in their way. They're weeds you've got to yank out. And I think that we have to recognize that we've hit the lottery according to the world. We live in the wealthiest country in the world, still. Right? And money gets in the way. The Bible says the love of money has caused many to become shipwrecked in their faith. That's because it's a weed. And you don't even have to have money to have the love of money. There are people that have money and they have the love of money and it shipwrecks their faith. And then there are people who are poor and they have a love of money and they're shipwrecked in their faith. And they got the worst of both worlds because they don't have the money and they get shipwrecked because they have a love for money. So we have to evaluate, how important is this money to us? How can I have the right attitude towards it? And so the Bible says, tell those who are rich not to trust in the uncertainty of riches. And Jesus said, don't stack up for yourself treasures here on earth where moth can come in and where rust can destroy and where thief can steal. And you say, well, I'm really not worried about moths and rust or thieves. You should be worried about thieves because people are stealing people's identity and credentials every day. I always like when you come to church to give you more worries. And, hey, inflation can steal your money, right? Anybody recognize inflation going on? Prices of houses, prices of food, prices of lumber, commodities in general. So Jesus said, don't worry about all these things. And you guys are all like, now I got a bunch of weeds in my life because you're talking about it. And I'm hoping just to identify it. You got to get rid of them. And then there's the pleasures of life. And this is the new religion of America, living for pleasure. Sex is the new religion in America. Everything in the political world is about LGBTQ, whatever it is. I should be able to say that. Everything is about what bathrooms you should use. Everything is about what a woman should be able to do with her body. All of these are around sex and sexual pleasure. You should be able to do what you want to do no matter what that is. It's the new religion in America, and it causes a lot of weeds, and there's a lot of weeds in people in church because of that. So what do? You aren't going to be able to come to maturity until you weed them out. You want to be effective in the kingdom of God? You want to be good light? You want to be good salt? You want to grow to maturity? Then you're going to have to do some weeding in your life, and that's not easy to do. There's another passage that helps us, and it's Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Let us run the race that God has given us with endurance. This isn't a sprint. This isn't a couple-year program. This isn't a five-year program. This is the rest of our lives. We want to run with endurance. And then it says, laying aside every weight. Weights slow you down. What if in the next Summer Olympics, you went to go see the 100-meter dash? I assume Usain Bolt is still running. Am I right? No? Bummer. I got to pay attention so I can come up with somebody else now. When a 100-meter dash comes up, somebody comes out, whoever the fastest runner is, all right, comes out, and they got a fur coat on. And they got big old boots on. And rather than a little bitty necklace, they got like a rapper's chain. Just, you know? are they going to win? Because somebody next to them has runner shoes on. Any of you guys in here runners? Is that curious? All right, some of you. Last service, nobody. They were either too shy to say they were runners, or runners shy, generally, by the way. All right. So I have a friend who's a runner, and I call him, and I'll ask him, did you go for a jog this morning? He'll say, I don't jog. That's why I say that. Right? I don't jog, I run. They're super light, right? They're super light for a reason. You don't want a weight to hold you down. The outfits they run in are the littlest outfits you could possibly get. They aren't wearing big, long, baggy outfits and big, baggy shirt. Years ago, when all that was in, they weren't wearing it. Just the smallest outfits you could get. And if they are going to wear a chain, which I'm always surprised that they do, it's this little bitty thing, this little bitty chain, a little thing. Because they don't want any weight slowing them down. So we're running in a race, and we're like, we got a refrigerator, we got a fish tank, we got, I'm running for Jesus. We got all these weights. They're not sin, they're just weights. They're weeds. And you've got to evaluate. What value am I getting from this? Should I get rid of this? Should I pull this weed out of my life? Am I getting value in it? I'm not saying that we don't do anything that is outside of the kingdom of God. I'm just saying we evaluate it to see if it's a weed that's keeping us from running swiftly. Then he says the sin which so easily entangles us. That's weeds as well. You got sin in your life, unconfessed, unrepentant sin in your life, and you've got these weeds. Now, I want to ask you a question. I check the time here. I want to ask you a question. The stony hearts and the weedy hearts, are those guys saved when they commit their lives to Christ? The stony hearts, I have to say, I don't know. I don't want to be in the business of judging who's saved and who's not saved, right? Jesus told us not to do that. He said, when the tares are planted among the wheat, wait until the judgment day because you might pull up the wrong ones. But it doesn't look to me like they are. It looks to me like they're very shallow. They're distracted with every, you know, it's conditional. They don't follow through. They fall away. I take it they fall away forever. To me, it doesn't look like they are. This group, the weedy heart, looks like they're saved to me. Because what they do is they don't come to maturity. The Bible says in Corinthians, there are some who make it through like passing through fire. It's like you just barely make it into heaven. It's like they got to grease up your shoulders and pop you in. You're like, oh. Or you're still a little singed when you get into heaven. I'm here. It's okay. Stop, drop, and roll. Okay. I'm fine. I made it. I'm in heaven. And everything that you did for Christ was all wood, hay, and stubble. There was nothing that was really done for him that was done for him genuinely. If I'm right, I'm glad that these guys just don't come to maturity, but I'm sad that you don't come to maturity. And how much could you do for the kingdom of God in the midst of the spiritual battle if you came to maturity? And who wants to come that close to the edge anyway? Who wants to make it through with just fire? It's like there's eight people coming that got a bunch of weeds in their life and three of them make it through like through fire and five don't. Could that happen? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it all works that way. All I'm saying is we need to get those things out of our lives that are distractive, those weights, so that the Word of God can do what the Word of God's going to do. And I love that. Let's look at the last heart, and then we'll make some conclusions. But the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the Word with a noble and good heart, kept it and bear fruit with it with patience. Again, with patience. There's the endurance, there's the patience that we have to do it. So the good heart bears fruit. Now, here's what I love, that Jesus doesn't come to the good heart and go, but the one who bears fruit is the one who's constantly plowing the ground, constantly watering, constantly trimming, constant. It's not a bunch of work. He's not saying you're going to bear good fruit if you get out there and do a bunch of work. Jesus said, if you are weary and heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. All you've got to do is stop having conditional faith. That's the stony heart. Stop having a hard heart where you're not ready to hear from God at all. Stop having a weedy heart that is full of distractions that distract you away from him. It's like we have a whole lot of Christians that have ADHD. It's just like, you know, like a dog, squirrel. We're just distracted away from the things that really matter. And when we do that, if we can genuinely get rid of the weeds, if we can get rid of the distractions, the rocks, if we can break up that fallow ground, the Word of God will fall in our hearts and it will do the work. suddenly it will grow. The Bible says the inner man is being renewed day by day. The outer man is perishing. God's word gets in there. He transforms you. The word starts to grow and it produces 100-fold in your life. And you didn't have to do a whole bunch of work to have it happen. You just had to make sure that you were hearing and receiving God's word and that you made the right kind of commitment to him. And so if you've identified yourself as a hard heart, then I want to pray. And when I pray for that, will you ask that God would break the fallowness of your heart up? If you've identified yourself as one that has a heart that is conditional, I'll serve you, God, if you do this. I pray that God would take away those conditions. Just say to him, God, I serve you no matter what. It's not a scary thing to pray. I pray it all the time. It's not scary because you learn to trust him. God loves you. He knows the best for you. There may be some difficulties coming, but God uses difficulties. Jesus went through a difficulty to save our souls. And so if God takes you through difficulties to do a work, you trust him, right? We trusted our parents when they made us go through difficulties, some of us. Some of us trusted them. We went through difficulties. And finally, we'll pray that we have a good heart and that God's word would produce, as one of the other parallel passages says, 30, 60, and 100-fold, that God's word would do its work inside of us. It's not something we got to go out and work for. It just happens when we receive God's word and we mix it with faith, when we become a doer of the word and not a hearer only of the word, then it becomes incredibly powerful. Stand with me, would you, and let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you for the time that we're able to spend looking at this great parable, learning about other parables, and learning that what really matters to us when the word of God falls upon it is that we don't have a hard heart that rejects you, that we don't have a conditional heart, and that we don't have a heart full of a bunch of other distractions. And Lord, I pray for each one of those conditions that are most likely represented here. Lord, for those that are here that have identified their heart as a hard and a fallow heart, would you break it up? Lord, we need you to do that supernatural work and break our hearts up. For those that are here that have identified their heart as a conditional faith heart, Lord, we give you our lives 100%. We will serve you if you kill us. We will serve you no matter what. You are our God, and we will serve you the rest of our lives. We are not in it for a short time. We are in it for the long haul. We want to remove those rocks and allow the roots to go deep, and we want to serve you and love you no matter what happens. And Lord, for those that have identified their hearts as weedy hearts, Lord, we want to get rid of the distractions. Reveal to us the things that are in our lives that are okay. Reveal to us where maybe something is okay, but we're spending too much time with it. We become too obsessed with it. Reveal to us those things that need to be removed completely, the weights that need to be laid aside, or maybe the sin which so easily ensnares us, that we can run the race that you've given us with endurance. And we thank you for this. And everybody who agreed said, amen. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a couple of minutes. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, you've never received him as your Savior, then you can invite him in today. You can say, Lord, I want you. Jesus said, you must be born again. You must be born again. And that doesn't happen by osmosis. It doesn't happen just because you go to church with your family. It doesn't happen just because you're born into a Christian home. There are no grandchildren in the kingdom of God. It happens because you say, Lord, I want you in my life. I give you that invitation. And God has a plan, a purpose for you. He'll forgive your sins, and God will get to know you. And he'll transform you. He'll make you into a new person. God's the one who will do that work. He'll give you eternity. Not just a ticket for heaven, but now as a Christian, beginning to live for him wholeheartedly. And if you're here today and you want to give your life to Christ, then I'm going to ask you to do something simple. Right where you are, just raise your hand. Lift your hand up now. Lift it up high so I can see it. I want to take time to acknowledge your hand, and I want to pray for you. God bless you. There in the back, that's great. God bless you from the balcony. That's great. Anyone else? The Bible says today, if you hear God's voice, don't harden your heart. That means that God draws you. And if God's drawing you today, no one comes to the Son unless the Father draws him. And if God's drawing you, you don't want to harden your heart. Today is the day of salvation. God bless you. Under the balcony there, that's great. Anyone else? All right. And if I didn't see your hand, know that God saw your hand. If you're watching online, you can respond as well. You could raise your hand. You could say, I want you in my life. The Lord could touch your heart right now and call you to commit your life to Him. If you're listening on Reach Radio, we're giving people a chance to give their lives to Jesus. Just say, I want to give my life to Christ today. And you can live for Him. You can put your hands down. And I would like everyone, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned. And I know my sin has separated me from you. I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life, and I turn from my sin that I can live for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. Amen. Very exciting. Hey, I gave my life to Christ when I was 13 years old, and I'll tell you what, there were radical changes that happened to me. As I invited Him in, He changed me. I became interested in the Word of God. I wanted to go to church. That had never happened to me before. I really wanted to go and be there. I wanted to learn God's Word. I wanted to know more about Him, and God's going to do the same with you. If you're here, we have a new believers table along the wall. We've got new believers counselors that are there. We want to give you a Bible, a new believers packet. That's just going to help you to know, what do I do now that I made a commitment to Christ? You can also text Ready for Jesus to 94,000. You're going to get back a link. That link is our new believers card. Fill that out and we'll have people that will get in touch with you. You could also send us an email to saved@calvarytucson.com. You could do that if you're watching online. You can also send Ready for Jesus to 94,000 and tell us your story. We want to hear it, and we'll have people who will respond to that email. We just want to do everything we can do to make sure that you come out of the starting blocks running for Jesus well without a big fur coat on, all right? So you can run that race that God has given you with endurance. Would you guys lift up your hands and pray with me? The Bible says, let men everywhere lift up holy hands and pray. I'm going to ask men and women to lift up your hands. And will you guys pray for people that you know that are hurting and suffering and need God's intervention while I pray for you? Father, I want to pray for everyone who is lifting up their hand today. As we pray for those around us that need help, Lord, those that need to be touched and healed, those that need to be saved, those that need to be able to battle and overcome their depression or whatever it is they face, Father, touch and heal in the name of Jesus. Set people free from those things that they are bound to in the name of Jesus. Refresh marriages, refresh families, refresh faith in the lives of all who are here and watching, listening. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May God lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. May you find yourself closer to Jesus than ever before. May you not allow the enemy to distract you from the true call, the true cause, souls of men and women coming to Christ. And you, the light of the world, the salt of the earth. You have been given the keys to the kingdom, and Jesus promised the gates of hell will not prevail against you.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We hope that our verse-by-verse studies truly help you to see that God is real. He wants a personal relationship with you, and His Word is life-changing. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. For our local listeners, we invite you to join us at one of our two campuses. Our East Campus at Speedway and Camino Seco meets Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus, south of Palo Verde and I-10, meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you prefer, you can watch our service at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. If Practical Christian Living has blessed you and you'd like to donate, please visit PCLAZ.org. That's PCLAZ.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation? We'd love to hear from you. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. We want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living TV Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. on KGUN 9. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living.
Do you love Jesus? Do you want to dig deeper in your walk with God? Then you are a great fit for Reach College. With enrollment opportunities to attend as a student or an auditor, the courses challenge you to analyze your way of thinking as you grow in your walk with Jesus. Find out more at thereachcollege.org. That is thereachcollege.org.